السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره. وقال تبارك وتعالى: من جاء بالحسنة فله عشر أمثالها. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كل معروف صدقة. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم: صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most beloved علماء اكرام, elders and brothers, and those listening over the receivers, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, our nourisher, sustainer and provider, whom we are totally dependent on. Peace and salutations be upon our master, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a grace, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us opportunity of witnessing another Friday, and it just seems like one year came and another year has come to an end, and a year has begun, but already we come into the end, towards the ending of January. But more importantly, also just as a quick reminder, we're coming towards the end of Jamadul Ula, and that means we have just about 3 months, Jamadul Ukhra, Rajab, Shaban, and taking us to the all important month of Ramadan. So we have about 90 days, depending on the sighting of the moon, but plus minus 90 days. We definitely under 100 days for the month of Ramadan. We ought to start some type of preparations for the month of Ramadan. I know it's a bit soon, but just a sort of a little bit of an introduction, some type of reminder for us that we are very close to the month of Ramadan, and the times go so fast, before we know it, we will be in the month of Ramadan. We make dua, Allah gives us life to reach the month of Ramadan, and that inshallah we are in good health, physical health, spiritual health, and we can prepare inshallah to take maximum benefit from that month. Inshallah over the next few weeks, ulama will be shedding more light in that particular discussion. What I would like to speak about today is a very small thing. I think the discussion, as far as what I'm going to talk about, the words that are around it, it's something small. We look at and think of something insignificant, minute, very easy things to do. But the effect and the impact of it is very, very great. And also it's something that nobody is sitting here, and I can say for sure, I'm guaranteed, nobody is sitting here doesn't do any of these things every day, or most of these things that I'm going to talk about today. In other words, they are small actions, very high impact it has, and everybody is sitting here, whether you are 5 years old or 75 years old, whether you're male, whether you're female, whether you're rich or poor, black, white, it doesn't matter. Everybody, every day you do these things. And sometimes we do it multiple times. Whether you like it, whether you opt for it or not, automatically you do these things every day. And even if you don't like it, you have to do it every day. So I would like to spend some time on these reminders. Many of these things we are aware of. We know about it. But unfortunately, when it comes to the practical application of it and doing it every day, that's where the big question and the challenge rises. So perhaps for the balance of the discussion today, I'm going to go through some of these aspects with the hope and inshallah with the intention Allah must give me also the ability of putting into practice. And also those of us are listening inshallah, that when we do these things now for the rest of today and the rest of the week and the rest of our lives inshallah, you will perhaps change a little bit of the focus and the methodology, the way, maybe the intention and how we do those things. And as I said, these are small things we do daily, but the power of it, the impact of it is very, very huge. Just to illustrate and through an example to understand this, you always use the example of an atom bomb. The atom bomb is a minute, small atom. When you talk about atom, it's synonymous, or you want to talk about something extremely small. So they say, the English also, how they say, dynamite comes in small packages. So it's a small package, small parcel. But if it's put somewhere, if it's thrown somewhere, the damage is very, very big. The atom bomb is thrown somewhere, the damage that it causes is huge. Hundreds of thousands of people can die, and the amount, in fact, the after effects of it is so great that many, many years, 10, 20, 30, maybe even more than that, sometimes affects generations, the impact of one small bomb that is put in a certain place. Now, my purpose is not to talk about the bomb and to scare you about that, but just to show you the concept of something small, but it can have a huge impact. So generally, in our circles, when we talk about something being a sunnah, if we say, man, it's only a sunnah, something small, and we leave it. Whereas in the life of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu majma'in, they would look for that which was sunnah and want to do it. Now it's an important change in the mind shift. We leave things out and say it's only a sunnah and we abandon it. Sometimes it's salah or other practices, we abandon, we leave it because it's a sunnah. So we automatically are contradicting the manner and the methodology of the Sahaba. Their approach was because it is a sunnah, we should be doing it. So, importantly, firstly, as introduction to my further part of the discussion, is we have to change our mindset and our approach when it comes to doing things according to the sunnah. In doing things according to the sunnah, we know there's a fiqhi debate and a discussion on the levels of something being farz, compulsory, something is wajib, and something is sunnah, and nawafil, and mustab. That's a different discussion altogether. But for our purposes as a Muslim, as a reciter of the kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah attached to it, as a lover of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we shouldn't be actually going into all these debates and discussions. We should be looking, okay, this is a sunnah way of doing something, and I should be doing it accordingly in that particular manner. In the ayah of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ma atakumur rasulu fakhuduhu, that whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whatever instructs, whatever he does, you must take, you must adopt it, you must do it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ, whatever he stops you and tells you not to do and discourages people from doing, you will abstain from it. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي, Allah says, if you love Allah, say to people of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you love, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ, if you love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow me, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهَ, Allah will forgive you, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, Allah will love you and وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and forgive your sins. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu atiu Allah wa atiu Rasul, obey Allah and obey Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is no need for us to worry about the technical difference and the fiqhi masail with regards to what is farz, what is wajib, what is sunnah and nafil. We will say, okay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did certain things in a certain manner, and hence I will also be doing it in that particular manner. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam also talks about, he says, kullu ummati yadkhuluna al-jannata illa man aba. Every one of my ummah, everybody will go to Jannah, except certain people who don't want to go into Jannah. They refuse. So then surprisingly they ask, may aba, who is refusing to go into Jannah? I say, man ata'ani dakhala al-Jannah. Simple, you follow me, my lifestyle, the methodology I have shown you, practices I have, how I have done, you do it according to how I have shown you, dakhala al-Jannah, then you go into Jannah. Wa man asani, if you go a country to that, you do choose any other way of doing it, then it's as though you are refusing entry into paradise. That's how critical and how important this thing is. It's a matter of our eventual, how we say, eternal salvation and success. And coming back to the point of small actions, and I'm going to emphasize some of these things. And as I said, you might say, Malana came, is a Jummah Bayan, maybe he should have been telling this to the grade 5-year-olds or the 6-year-olds, and it was a talk for them, they be doing all these things. But it's important for us to remind ourselves that this is how we should be doing it. And unfortunately, we know, but practically we are not doing it. So I will start with certain practices, and inshallah, we hope I will talk about the sunnahs attached and linked to it, so that when we do these things, inshallah, we will try and do it accordingly. So when we go to sleep, I would start off with sleeping, because we all love to sleep, and we have to sleep. Anybody sitting in the audience or listening doesn't sleep, all of us sleep. If you don't sleep 2 days, 3 days, you become like a zombie, you'll never survive. So we're sleeping every day without a doubt. Now, inshallah, from today when we go to sleep, we will make conscious effort that when we go to sleep, we will do it according to the sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith, لا تحقرن, I mentioned in the beginning these words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا, that don't ever look down Don't treat and consider as insignificant, unimportant, any good action. So now when we go into bed, and now the sunnah is to dust the bed. We are taught according to the sunnah that you must dust the bed before you go to sleep. Don't think, oh, this is not important. No, why must I dust the bed? You see, now consciously, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us in the light of the hadith that we should be dusting our bed before we go to sleep. So we will do it like that, inshallah. Dusting the bed, it has physical benefit as well. Maybe there's some creature there or some dirt there you're protecting yourself from. But the important thing also with that is spiritual benefit. Now I'm doing it according to the sunnah. I'm going to bed according to the sunnah. Then the aspect of making wudu before we go to sleep, I know it's very hard. Easy for me to say, but think about practically now. Imagine you're going to sleep. You just went to the toilet. It's just a matter of making wudu and then going to sleep. But there's a big challenge. Think about it. And how many of us are actually doing that? And the reward, however, is so great. Small action, make wudu and then go to sleep. According to some narrations, you get a reward as though you engaged in ibadah the entire night. So that is also important. When you go to sleep is the recitation of the dua. Unfortunately, I just want to also link that with something. Is that when we're going to sleep nowadays, we have become so habitual. We have become so linked to our television sometimes, and the other form of something that we have, which is so linked to us, has become sometimes more dearer and closer to us too. And any other family member also is our smartphone. And we are now in bed, we're sitting with the smartphone, and we're looking and we're going through all our messages and whatever sites we're going through, and we fall off to sleep in that way. Now again, inshallah, tonight, when we go to sleep, you'll remember the Jummah talk that now we'll have, there's time for that. There is time for that phone. Maybe there's a place where we'll keep it. But to fall off to sleep when you're going off with the cell phone in our hands is again a contrary to the sunnah, because now you need to make sure you read your du'as before sleeping. Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. A very simple du'a. We learned it when we were small. But again, question ourselves, are we doing it in that particular way? Oh Allah, I go to sleep in your name, and oh Allah, I will wake up in your name. Bismika amutu wa ahya. So the du'as, and also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has encouraged us. So I'm just not going to mention all the details of it. It's just a quick surface reminder for us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also speaks about in the hadith about the recitation of our du'as. I know when we were small, and many of you sitting here small, it was a given. Your parents, your mother, or your father will come when it's time to sleep. Make sure you read your five kalimas. Kalima tayyib, or awwal kalima tayyib, however we learnt it, kalima shahada in a different way. Now, but it was a point of making, the older people will perhaps relate to it. Your mother and father made it a point, before you go to sleep, you recited your kalimas and your du'as. It's a sunnah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us to recite the awwazatain. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. As a means of protection. And you read the dua, the surahs, قُلْ أَوْذُ رَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَوْذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, and blow on your hands and rub all over our bodies. That is a very powerful way of protection. We want to go sometimes, yeah, this place for it, for some heavy wazifas and some heavy taweez in different places. But these are practical daily things we ought to be doing. And it has the effect, guaranteed, in the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of protection. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, when you go to sleep every night, read the mu'awwazatain, قُلْ أَوْذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَوْذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. You blow on your hands and wipe your entire body. Inshallah, you will be protected. So that was just around sleeping. Keep in mind, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شِيَعَ. We lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, he says, كُلُّ مَعْرُوفٍ صَدَقَ. Every good action, everything we do, something we think of it as being small, every good action is a type of sadaqah, a charity we are giving. It's not necessarily charity is money that we give, that's one type of charity. But any good action, you say, وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَى أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ تَلْقٍ. Even if you just saw somebody and you smiled at him, the fact that you gave him a smile, you put some happiness in his heart, he also started smiling. You cheer him up. That is a sadaqah. You didn't give him money, you didn't give him food, nothing you gave him besides a smile. But again, something small, But the impact of it is so great. It's a form of sadaqah and a charity, inshallah, on our scales of deeds on the day of Qiyamah. It will hold very great amount of weight. That also linked to the ayah of the Quran, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. Allah emphasizes, He says, the person that does the amount of a mustard seed, tiny amount, generally is used to illustrate something extremely small and tiny. Person that does the extent of a mustard seed of khair, of good, yara, he will see it. It will be of great benefit to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make it such that it will become a means of his salvation, eternal salvation. That's how impactful and how powerful a small action, which we think is small, could be. Feeding a cat and an animal became a means of forgiveness. Again, anybody will think, this is something so insignificant, so small. What this cat? Why must I feed this cat? But giving a cat water to drink, or a dog water to drink, became a means of salvation of somebody. Another person who was abusing the cat, the animal, it became a means of that person becoming unsuccessful. Again, the point I'm emphasizing on something minute and small, we overlooked it, and we think only of big actions, and we overlook the power of these small things, and unfortunately we lose out on very important avenues of reward and salvation. Then we talk about our eating. I had many more things to talk about, but I'm just going to try to cursory go through this. So everybody, hashallah, inshallah, we know that we sleep. We're going to try and keep in mind these things every day. We eat. Alhamdulillah, in Ramadan, we will fast during daytime, but even in Ramadan, we eat. But everybody sitting here, on that point, we eat. Unfortunately, when it comes to our eating habits also, we forget. Everybody knows, but practically implementing, there's a big challenge. And eating habits have to come in accordance to the sunnah. سَمِّ اللَّهَ وَكُلْ بِيَمِينِكَ. For example, taking the name of Allah before eating. Consciously, after Zuhar, after Jummah, we're going home today, inshallah, or wherever we're going to have our lunch, our biryani, our dalgos, whatever we have, we will remember not to forget the name of Allah. Bismillah wa ala barakatillah. Bismillah wa barakatillah. In the name of Allah, with the blessings of Allah. Washing our hands before eating. Sitting and eating. And again, these are habits that have some way crept into us, where people have become such that they waste. It's something that is unacceptable. People actually go to the extent of throwing away food. In some parts of the world, it become like the norm. Nothing wrong. You take out food, you eat what you want, unless you just take it and you throw it away. This is unacceptable practice as far as our eating. So you take out a little, eat how much you want. The Prophet talks about cleaning the utensil, making sure it's clean. We have to inculcate these habits in our lives and the lives of our children. If we don't teach them and we allow them to dish out how much of food they want and to waste and to throw food, the barakah is taken away. The barakah is taken away and the barakah from the home leaves. And with the barakah leaves the home, then we don't know, perhaps is that particular action that is a cause of the problems that are coming in your life. Yes, small action. But the impact of it is very, very great and very, very powerful. Prophet ﷺ talks about washing our hands before eating and after eating. Standing and eating. That has also become like a person as though there's nothing wrong. Drinking, standing and drinking. These are things we have to make sure we do it in accordance to the teaching of the Prophet ﷺ. And like that, there are so many other, if there's food that is presented and you don't like the food, the teaching of the Prophet ﷺ is eat. If you don't like it, keep your mouth closed and carry on. You don't have to criticize any food. You don't know somebody else who's sitting there. He might or she might like that food. The person that has prepared the food might take offense. So these are the teachings related to our eating. Then when it comes to our dressing, everybody, mashallah, sitting here from what I can see, is wearing clothes. But did we consciously wear clothes? When you wore our kurta, your shirt, your pants, your socks, did you wear it according to the sunnah? In other words, put the right side first. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us, when you wear your clothes, this is how you put your clothes on. When you put in your shoes, did you put our right foot first? When you take it out, when you walked into the masjid, did we ensure that we removed whatever foot we're supposed to be removing first? Again, we have to continuously remind ourselves. Small action, doing it all the time, unfortunately we are neglecting the practical application of it. Did you know there's a dua for reciting when wearing clothes? Alhamdulillah, alladhi kasani hadha thawb, وَرَزَقْنِيهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ حَوْلٍ مِنِّي وَلَا قُوَّةٍ. There's a dua to decide if you're wearing new clothes. There is a dua when you're wearing clothes, standing in front of the mirror, admiring the creation that Allah and Allah has made you. اللهم أنت حسنت خلقي فحسن خلقي. Thanking Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, giving me such beautiful outward form. Now, oh Allah, give me beautiful inward form. So, dressing. Then all of us sitting here, I am just skimming through this. I spoke about sleeping. I spoke about eating. I spoke about the wearing of our clothes. Another important thing again where we become negligent on is relieving ourselves in the use of the bathroom. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us clear directions. When you enter the toilet, you enter with the left foot. When you're leaving the toilet, you leave with the right foot. Before entering the toilet, there's a dua to be recited. When you leave the toilet, there is a very important, powerful dua to recite. And this is not something, the duas, maybe we don't know the translation and the meaning of it. But there's a great, great effect and power behind it. Meaning behind it, if you read, actually is a very important aspect. Just if you just take this dua, if I just sort of spend 1 minute on the toilet dua, you know, if a person could be in certain situations, find himself, either whatever he eats is coming out immediately. That's also a problem because he has running stomach. If that happens for 2-3 days, he has to go to hospital, sick. The other possibility is whatever he eats stays inside, nothing is coming out. That's also a problem, that's constipation. So the fact that we are able to go to the toilet and relieve ourselves in such a manner that the beneficial aspects of what we have eaten is remaining in our body and the waste only is coming out is a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when next time when you go to the bathroom and the toilet to relieve yourself, when you're coming out, you read the dua, Ghufranak, oh Allah forgive us. The ulama give different reasons. Why are you asking Allah for forgiveness when you left the bathroom or the toilet? One of the reasons is because in the toilet we don't make the dhikr of Allah. So for that small minute time you are unmindful to extent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you're asking Allah to forgive you for being unmindful of Him in that few, for that few moments. But you read a dua after that, Alhamdulillah alladhi adhaba annil adha wa afani. All praise is due to Allah who has removed from me the adha. The waste has come out. Wa afani. And has granted me protection and safety in the way that He has kept within my body that which my body needed. So everything did not come out, nor did everything stay in. What was not needed by the body, Allah has created the system that it has come out. And what is required by the body, Allah has granted you the afiyat, the wa'afani. Allah has protected you and allowed that to stay in your body. So, the small action. But look at how powerful the impact of it is. So, to conclude, time is up. I only spoke about 4 things. I had lots of other things which we do on a daily basis. But I think, inshallah, if we just suffice on these things, Habbul amali ilallahi adwamuha wa in qalla. The most beloved action to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, those that are done in continuity, even though they may be little. So if all of us sitting here, inshallah, if we at least take these 4 things, and we make it a conscious effort, consciously, myself, my children, my wife, I'm going to remind each another that when I sleep, just go, if you didn't remember everything I said, there may be more, just revise through the sunnats and the way that it should be done. When I eat, again, a revise of how I'm going to eat. When I dress up, how I'm going to dress up, inshallah, the clothes that I wear. And when I relieve myself, how I'm going to be doing it. And inshallah, if we tie down at least these 4 actions for today, and for the rest of our life, we try and do it in according to the sunnah, then inshallah, it will be, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Best example we can be following. We're looking for a role model, a hero, a sample to follow. It's in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is great amount of physical benefit for you in doing things according to the sunnah. In other words, if I want to say worldly benefit, you'll get also your physical body will benefit. But more important than that, if you do it in according to the sunnah consciously, then there's great amount of spiritual benefit also you will get from all these actions. And as I'm repeating the point in the beginning, every one of us sitting here, we do all these things every day. So inshallah we will remember, لا تحكرن من المعروف شيئا. We will not treat and consider any of these sunnahs as something small and insignificant. Inshallah we will try and adopt it and do everything in accordance to the sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability of putting these things into practice. And may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make all our actions then in accordance to the beautiful teachings of our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.